Happy rainy season, everybody. Welcome to the Activist Podcast, episode 21. Hello, friends. Okay, so, let's see, this is going to be a speedy episode because, quite frankly, I don't have a lot of time, and that's what the episode's all about. It's all about time. I'm going to talk about my most favorite time of the year, which is this whole rainy season. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. And I will also talk about the show, obviously, because what would I do if I didn't promote the show? You know what I mean? So let's get started. Well, friends, it's been an eventful last 2 weeks. Lots of meetings for the nursery and the final rehearsals for How to Succeed Before Opening Night, which is this Saturday, November 5th. And I've been enjoying my favorite holiday, which is Halloween, with my friends to mark the beginning of the rainy season, which is my favorite time of the year. So hoot to that. Now, sadly, we didn't make it to any haunted houses thanks to my nutty schedule. And also, sadly, there was lots of candy. And heck yeah, I'm saying sadly. Now, remember, I don't know if you read the post or not, but I am trying to fit into a 3-piece blue pinstripe suit that is adorable. And I am happy to report success. I am in it. And from what the others tell me, it looks pretty darn good. So that makes me happy. It's just when I do some of the dance numbers, I would prefer that it have a little more give so that way I could actually reach fully upright like I'm supposed to. Want to make Valerie Valenzuela proud because she's an awesome choreographer. Now, because this is the speedy episode, I'm just going to get right into it and start by saying I know you've seen the event invites for How to Succeed all over Facebook and even on Gold Star. And hopefully you've already purchased your tickets. If not, check out Gold Star. I believe there's some deals on there for you. Goldstar.com. The show, for those who know nothing about it, is about the quote-unquote trials of a young man named Pierpont Finch and his climb to the top of the business ladder by unconventional means, if you will. The show features a lot of local and familiar talent, one of whom has one of my favorite moments of the entire show, and it's a randomly sung exclamation of self-triumph, and it's, I don't know, it just comes out of nowhere, and it's hilarious. And this guy is none other than Mr. Brett Carlson, who plays the selfish Bud Frump, the spoiled nephew of the company president, J.B. Bigley. And I'd like to just kick the whole thing off with his interview. So my guest for this episode is the quirky and funny Brett Carlson.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Sure.
Relax, don't worry, I'm not going to ask any personal questions or anything. I want tell me a little bit about your background in theater. I know you've done all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I studied theater in college. I went to West Valley College and then to San Jose State and got my degree in theater arts with an emphasis in technical theater. But I've been doing theatrical stuff all my life. I mean, you know, singing in choirs and part of mime troupes and dancing. I did some Irish dancing, all sorts of stuff, all sorts of performing things.
Mime troupes?
I was in a mime troupe, yeah.
Care to elaborate? Come on.
Yeah, we did little Bible sketches. I went on tour on the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you weren't always a Bay Area native?
I was a Bay Area native, but this group that I was doing the mime thing with was from the East Coast, and so I flew out there for, I don't even know how long it was, a month or two.
Wow. Was it like a paid gig?
It wasn't paid.
No?
But it was fun.
That's, I'm sure you probably learned a lot of stuff from it.
A lot of clowning skills, yeah.
Did really? That explains a lot.
Yeah. Very physical.
I thought I read somewhere that you studied abroad as well.
I did a semester abroad in England, in Bath. While I was there, I worked with their youth theater. as a little internship. Didn't actually do much, but it was pretty awesome. Pretty cool group they got there.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the most fun thing you did? I can't believe I just said funnest. Go ahead, lay into me for that one. What was the most fun thing that you did there?
In England?
Yeah.
Their youth program was doing a couple plays, and one of them was based on the American Civil War, which was interesting. I was helping some of the kids with their American accents. But that was it. I was just supervising kids mostly, you know, taking times for shows and stuff.
So when you say that you have an emphasis on technical theater, mm-hmm. is that strictly lighting and scenery stuff, or does that include other tricks of the trade, like puppetry and things of that nature?
I never actually took classes in puppetry. I mean, that's just kind of a hobby sometimes I do. Yeah, for the degree, it was mostly just sets and lights and basic stuff like that. The theater arts degree I got was a generalist degree, so they made me take acting and stuff, which really wasn't my thing. I didn't think it was my thing. and one of my friends asked me to be in a production of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and that was my first time on stage.
And, shut up, really?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God.
You and me, how long ago was that? Like 6 years ago? Seven years ago?
I don't even know. I tried to block that one out. Just kidding.
Not really.
Why'd you say that out loud? Man. So in the course of the time that's been from Seven Brides to now, mm-hmm. how many productions have you done? Because I don't know. Every time it seems like, oh, I'm doing this or I'm working on that.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of years since then, so, I mean, it adds up to maybe 12, 15, I don't know.
That's
a good number of shows. Not,
yeah, I was going
to...
It's
not
still,
a lot of shows, but I've been pretty active in trying to be in shows. I really enjoy it now.
So, now that you've done as many shows as you've done, mm-hmm. Do you enjoy the acting side a lot more now?
I do, yes.
That brings me... to how to succeed in business without yes. really trying, where you are playing the bratty-ish Bud Frump.
Yes.
Would you say that that's similar to you? That character is similar to you in any way?
There's a little bit of typecasting. I can be a brat. I can be annoying. I don't know. I like to think that people like me, but... I don't know.
That's what Bud thinks, too.
Bud thinks that, and Bud's kind of a goofball that way. I can see a lot of myself in Bud.
When they asked you to play the role,
yes,
were you like, or was it automatically, oh, hell yeah?
I was super excited to do the show, any character, and I got the call, and I actually said yes to our producer before I even knew which role he was asking me to play.
Get out.
Yeah, I said, yeah, I'll be in the show. And he's all, well, do you want to know what you're going to be? And I'm like, it doesn't even matter. And he's all, well, we'd like you to play Bud Frump. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I can do that. Yeah, I was super excited to be in the show.
Just it was a lucky guess. So when I texted you and I said, so did they ask you to play Bud yet? And that was, I don't know why. I just assumed. I saw that and knew that you were called back before,
yeah.
But you were also called back for Ponty, right?
I wasn't called back for Ponty. No, I was just called back for Bud.
Really?
Yeah.
No, so it's kind of like they knew.
I don't know.
They knew. Do you hear me, Meg? But that's awesome. I think you're doing a great job. What's the hardest thing that you've come across so far about getting this particular character?
I think the hardest thing, I'm trying to really make him a worthy opponent for Finch, a worthy villain to play against him. It's all throughout the script that everybody hates Bud, but it's not necessarily said why. And so I'm really trying to up my jerkiness, my jackassery, to make the audience hate Bud as much as Finch eventually does.
I don't know. To me, it just seems like right off the bat, Finch automatically hates you because of the way you introduced yourself.
Yeah, well, of course, I have to start off on the wrong foot, and
I think it's not that everybody hates you; it's just that everybody doesn't pay attention to you because you're Bigley's nephew.
Yeah, the whole nepotism thing.
Weird thing is, like, he doesn't. Bigley doesn't really, you know, coddle you in any sort of way.
No,
so.
But everybody assumes that that's the only reason I'm there. That I'm useless otherwise. A little bit. And so I think Bud Frump has a lot of frustration because of that, and he turns around and gives that to Finch.
I like it. So what, as far as your character arc for the show,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like there's a turning point at all where you want the audience to kind of, for poor Bud?
I don't know exactly where that is yet. I definitely want to make him sympathetic and likable as a villain as well. I mean, you want to have two sides to a villain.
Right.
You don't want him to just be all bad, bad, bad. But there's a certain drama that Bud Frump has. He's definitely an eccentric, and that can be endearing, I suppose.
Do you have a backstory for Bud?
Still working on that.
Still
working on that.
We up in 2 weeks.
I know. Still learning my lines. Come on, give me a break.
Oh, no.
Meg, don't listen to that.
It's okay, me too.
You can edit all that.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you about when you did Little Shop of Horrors, because I know you were Audrey.
Yes, I was Audrey 2,
yeah,
puppeteering Audrey 2, so I wasn't the voice. We did that up at Bus Barn Theater. That was an experience.
How was working that thing?
So we had 3-4 puppets. They ranged in size from a tiny hand puppet, really just the size of a hand. Then the next one up, I kind of sat in, like, cross-legged.
Okay.
So I was cross-legged, and then my hands and my head were one jaw, and my other hand was the lower jaw.
Oh, okay.
So it was really my entire body. And then the big take over the flower shop puppet was my entire body. I was standing up in that. I was bent over at the waist. And my entire torso was the upper jaw, and then my hands controlled the lower jaw.
So,
it was quite uncomfortable, and it was very smelly and
gosh.
Ridiculously hot. Bus Barn's AC wasn't exactly reaching to the inside of the puppet, so I would ice my neck, and I had a little fan in there, and they would, you know, let me out every now and then to get air. Get back in the puppet. The next scene, quick.
That was a really fun show. I liked that, and I couldn't figure out. I was like, how's he fitting in there? that explains a lot for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I had never done any puppetry that large before. It was really quite physical. I mean, it was interesting trying to give the plant emotion and feeling when all I had to work with was this body that I couldn't see. I was very... unself-aware. I didn't know exactly where I was or what I looked like because
mm-hmm.
I was performing in the dark
yeah.
inside this big thing. But I think definitely like mime training, a lot of physical training, I knew how to make something look alive, look like it was paying attention, look like it was menacing. I guess I have been a bad guy before.
See?
I was thinking this was my first villain role, but that's not true. Audrey
yeah.
Chu's villain.
Yeah, Audrey
Chu
is quite the villain. Quite the villain indeed. So when you say largest puppet you've ever worked with, do
mm-hmm.
you mean like you work with marionettes or like hand puppets or sock puppets? I kind of wish I had asked you to bring like a puppet that you've worked with before.
I don't think I have anything at home right now. Like I've done like some shadow puppets at home. As a kid, I certainly had puppets. I had a marionette and some hand puppets that I would play with. Do little performances for the family gathering, stuff like that.
Oh, you were one of those kids too.
Oh, absolutely. I would get all the cousins together and we would
do
little Christmas shows and little whatever.
That's awesome. That's awesome. A lot of the theater people that I know, that's kind of seems to be a common story.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if that's like a hint of what their future's supposed to hold
mm-hmm.
or what, you know, but... That's kind of interesting. I didn't really think that so many had that, you know, childhood story
yeah,
with them.
You start somewhere. You start doing something. And, you know.
What aside from the Irish dancing, did you do any other sort of classes?
I don't have a lot of technical training with dancing. I never took modern or jazz or tap or anything. I took traditional Irish step dancing. And then in high school, we were part of a group that did Civil War era ballroom dancing, reenactment
really?
Stuff, yeah. So, you know, formal dancing, waltzes and cotillions and stuff like that.
Get out.
Yeah, yeah.
And where was this at?
We did it different places. There was a homeschool group, and there were different places that would throw Civil War era balls. And
would that be any different than, you know, England type?
It's very Pride and Prejudice. It's exactly that sort of stuff you would see in that sort of era film. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I just was like, there's differences? That just goes to show my ignorance right there, folks. Just thought I'd throw that out there. This is the first show that I can honestly say I've actually heard you sing.
Oh, is that right?
I know we've done other shows before, but I never ever...
But I was really singing as a group, yeah.
I never ever hear you sing. I know you... Yeah. So it was when I got to hear you sing, I'm like, oh, that's what his voice sounds like. Very good job.
Well, you heard me in White Christmas. I had my big solo running across the stage, singing Jingle Bells at the top of my voice poorly.
That exactly. It was very poorly, and I knew that wasn't how you sung, so this is a very pleasant surprise. A very pleasant news indeed. What is your training aside from just the school, or did you take outside classes?
I've taken some voice classes. It's been a while. And I sang in a choir as a kid. We were in a youth choir for many, many years. And so I can read music. Harmony is not a problem.
Do you play an instrument?
I play the piano.
Yeah.
Always helps.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I can't play an instrument. Sucks. I can barely read music. This goes up, I go up. Okay. Just tell me where.
That's all there is to it.
Easy. So now, what has been the most interesting thing that you've been able to do so far in theater?
In theater?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I don't know.
Like in general, your entire life. No.
I don't even know what the most interesting thing is.
Do you have like a favorite role that you've done?
Favorite role?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed doing the puppet, Audrey 2. I really enjoyed being in West Side Story. That was another very physical role. Running and jumping and climbing. It really was a lot of fun.
Tagging. Don't forget the tagging.
I was tagging backstage.
Backstage.
Don't tell the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, can't see. Just heard you.
So what do you hope for the future? Do you want to continue doing theater stuff?
Oh, gee, I don't plan that far ahead.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm going to...
You don't dream big, Roxy. Dream big.
Yeah, I love doing shows. I'll keep doing shows. I'm definitely not very competitive, so I don't think I could do this as a career, but I'd love to keep my finger in theater. I love doing it on stage, backstage, wherever.
Really? Yeah. So do you prefer backstage as opposed to, you know, on stage?
Recently, I haven't done any backstage stuff, so yeah, I'm loving the on stage thing. Maybe I need to switch gears again and try something backstage.
I'm always terrified of backstage. Like, I'm going to get run over by something, or I'm going to hurt myself somehow. And, yeah, I just don't deal well with injury. I'm a big crybaby that way. Do your parents encourage the theater stuff?
Yeah, they do. They love coming. They come out to all my shows. They support me.
Not multiple times. Are they the kind of?
No, they're not that kind of parents. Okay. They come once and they say good job, but they're not like every show.
Yeah, and that's plenty.
Nice. Good job, son.
I can't remember.
Is this the fourth show we've done together?
I don't remember. No.
Seven Brides.
Did you do JCS?
Jesus Christ Superstar, yes.
Okay.
So maybe five. West Side Story, White Christmas and this one.
Five
shows.
Wow. Now I'm kind of curious as to when Seven Brides happened.
It's a good 6 years ago? 7 years ago? You can go look it up.
It's too much work. So Mr. Brett, you will be in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
I love that you call me Mr. Brett. It makes me sound so grown up.
Yeah, yay. Well, you kind of are compared to, you know, when we did Seven Brides. But Mr. Brett... You're going to be in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at West Valley Light Opera, that actually WVLO Music Theater.
Wuvlo.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Wuvlo.
Wuvlo. Yes, I forgot they changed their name.
Our new name.
Just
same
so
name,
as you know.
New, what do you, pronunciation.
There you
I
go.
Don't know.
There you go. But the show opens on November 5th and closes on December 2nd, I believe it is.
Sounds good.
You can get your tickets to see Mr. Brett at WVLO.org. or you can call the phone number that I will have listed in the show notes. Mr. Brett, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
I truly appreciate it. I really do. Not being sarcastic like usual. But again, thank you so much. And I do enjoy working with you, and I'm so glad we're doing another show together. But until next time, thank you.
You're welcome. Yay. Awesome.
Yay.
Hi, Mom.
Since this is the beginning of the cold season, you know, where the holidays come and the rains come and some places snow and frost, and it just made me miss knitting. And I haven't picked up a pair of needles in I don't know how long now. It's been definitely months. And The cool thing is that there are so many people inside the cast that actually know how to knit that I've become, once again, a fan of knitting. And I can't wait to get started on something, anything. It doesn't matter. At this point, I would be happy to do a pocket square. Now, a pocket square, for those of you who don't know, is just a little square that goes inside the pocket of a man's suit jacket. But yeah, I'm really excited to get back to that. And it's kind of funny that there is actually knitting in the show. You'll have to see the show to find out. But I would like to take this time to say that because it is the rainy season and because it is the holiday season, I know there's going to be a lot of holiday parties and a lot of rain and road slickness. And so I just want to caution everyone, please drive so carefully and to watch out for motorcyclists or people on mopeds that are also on the road with you, because sometimes they just come out of nowhere. And luckily, I haven't had any incidences or close calls, but I know a couple of people who are on two-wheel motorized vehicles that have, and so I worry about them, and you know, also for your safety. So please, please, please pay attention to the road and everything around you. Do not text while driving. I know I'm guilty of it. However, I have to point out that I only text at red lights, so I'm pretty fast at that. But just be aware, be cautious, and I look forward to seeing you all either at the theater or somewhere else, somewhere unexpected. I'm going to wrap it up now because, you know, it's got to be a short one today. And go get your tickets for How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at West Valley Light Opera. The website is www.wvlo.org, or you can call area code 408-268-3777. 408-268-3777, and come see the show. So many fabulous people, so many wonderful songs, and so much funny bits. Funny, funny, funny bits. Oh, and you can see me act like Tim Gunn were he a pervert. But he's not. But that's kind of who I based my character off of. But anyway, come see the show. It runs from November 5th through December 2nd. And you can get your tickets, I've already told you, wvlo.org or 408-268-3777. I'd be delighted to see you there. For all my friends who have shows or openings or readings or performances of any sort, break a leg. For everyone else, go outside, even if it's rainy, and support your local theater or your local artist. Also, one final announcement. The winner of the free How to Succeed tickets is Miss Sarah from Santa Clara. She's already been emailed, and we're looking forward to seeing her at the theater. A special thank you to Mr. Brett Carlson, because you are wicked awesome. Music was brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network, and it featured Time Out by Alan Lauris. You can find me on Facebook at Jerry the Activist. You can email me at Jerry, one R, J-E-R-Y, at thecactorvist.com. Or, yeah, that's pretty much it. Or on Twitter. Sorry. It's been a long day. Or on Twitter at The Activista. So The Activist plus an A. Anyway, until next time, my name is Jerry and I am The Activist, and I hope to find more stuff to bring you now that the show's open.